So then I have to come back to the word. So we live in a time where the world can take us away very quickly from what God's been calling us. And there's a time, we're living in a time where the world can quickly pull us away. And we just feel that in this time, there's a lot of reasons, because we can teach a lot of things every Sunday. We can come here and we can tell you that we need to do this and you need to do this and this. We can read even books these days, 5 ways to have a better marriage, or 5 ways to teach your kids better, and all of those kind of things. But at the end of the day, there's actually only one thing that everything comes back to, and that is to learn how to love God. We need to learn how to God to love God. And the thing is, this is the thing is that sometimes we think we're arrogant. We a lot of Christians I've heard say that I will never fall away from the Lord, or my kids are with the Lord, they will never fall away from the Lord. And that's arrogant. And the devil uses arrogance very quickly. And God cannot work with arrogance. He cannot work with it. We must never be in a place where we think, I will not fall away. And I think tonight, even now that I'm standing here, I didn't mention this morning, is the only thing that we can teach ourselves and our children is to teach them how to love Jesus. And while we spoke about it this Sunday to something light, and then I said, I really feel God's talking about love for Him. And then I thought of someone in the Bible, and I actually came back all the way to Abraham. And Abraham was one of the people that probably, I think, loved God the most. And I'll show you a bit later why I think that. But why I'm talking about our children is also because we've got such a big responsibility to break the chains as soon as possible. And I'm going to go back to the Ten Commandments and only read the first one, because this is actually amazing to see that what happens if you break the chain. Now, my opa, my grandpa was a saiplap, I'm a saiplap. That's how we grew up. I still hear the guys talk like that. Onses, we are the strijkers here in Swellendam. We have this and this and this. And God actually tells us to be very careful about that. So let's read Exodus 20, verse 1 to 6. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Just one thing. The reason why I'm mentioning this is because sometimes we just think we need to love God and it's good. But there's also a promise here. And it's good to hold on to promises. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin. Listen now. Punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. That's very important. To the 1,000th generation. And I will show you now what happened to Abram. He actually loved God so much that his name was still mentioned 6,000 years later in the Bible. God promised Abram a big nation of his own offspring. And you need to know that Abram was 75 years old when God called him out of the city into the desert. And I told this morning, Tom said he's not 75 yet, but I don't know who of us will have the guts at 75 to go into the desert. God sending us. And I think a lot of people probably thought he's crazy, so he had to hear God's voice very clearly about this. Abram loved God so much that God even came around to Abram before he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. He even came around Abram and sat down with him and they had dinner or lunch. I can't remember. And Abram asked God to save the people. And then Abram was 100 years old when his own son was born. Now, I told this morning, we spoke and we had a laugh in the church because at 100 years old, you must have a lot of guts with a boy to help him to grow up. I was 28 when I had two and took a lot of guts. But still, Abram loved Isaac. I think Isaac was everything to Abraham. And then God does something, and that I think most of us will probably not do. I said also this morning, I've got two, and if I have to slaughter one of my boys, then I maybe have one left. But he had only one son. And he had to do a human sacrificing for God. You see, it's one thing to believe, but it's another thing to love. Because God tested Abraham with this one thing. The one thing that meant everything to Abraham, God tested him. And that the test was, is, Abraham, do you really love me enough? And Genesis 22, verse 55 to 18, I'm going to read this. He said to the servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them, went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abram, Father, yes, my son. Abram replied, the fire and the wood are here. And Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abram answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place, God had told him about Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. Now, I just want to say again, something we need to know is that Isaac didn't refuse. There was something also happening in Isaac's heart, and he just tied him up like Jesus gave himself, Isaac gave himself. For this offering. It's very interesting because God comes, he uses a person to show what he will do in 6,000 more or less years time. But he uses a man. Now we must remember this. Abram is actually the person that broke the chain for us. He broke the chain. He was the first one. And then Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abram, Abram, I am. He replied. It's interesting, he says, here I am. He replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Okay, I'm not going to read that. So, what Abraham did is, he was so, in Hebrew 11 says, he trusted God to raise his son from the dead. He even trusted God that God will raise his son from the dead. Hebrews 11 verse 19. Just put it up there. Just go to 19, sorry. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So, at the end, Isaac gave himself like Jesus did, but also Abraham gave Isaac like God gave Jesus to be slain. And 6,000 years later, in Matthew 1 verse 1, the first book of the Bible, Abraham is mentioned. Because what did we read in Exodus 20 verse 1 to 6? Your children will be blessed 1,000 times. Okay. So Abraham loved God so much that we still mention Abraham's name. A record of the genealogy, it's the same word almost as, I don't know what, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It's interesting that the Bible starts with that. With the first verse, it starts with the son of Abraham. So Abraham opened a way for us. And I think we actually owe Abraham a lot. But to come back to what God did is he sent Jesus to the cross. Now, I remember the first time I gave my life to God, I couldn't figure out why God actually would want me, because I've done so many bad things and so many different things, and why would a God want someone like me? And I remember that the thing that pulled me to God was the love of God. I just remember that I knew that God loved me the way I was. I didn't need to go back first and leave the alcohol and leave everything behind and then go back and say, okay, Jesus, here I am. I had to go and say, Jesus, here I am, because of his love for me. He was interested in my heart. Romans 5, verse 5 to 8. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love. Very important. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's important that he poured his love. You see, this is the thing you need to catch now. You cannot do it with your own love. We are too much corrupted. You can only do it with his love. And why does God give his love to us? 1 John 2 verse 5. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love, this is the most important verse in my whole preach. God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Truly made complete. You will only be complete and fulfill your destiny if you've got God's love in your heart. If you search him day and night. The word says, love him with your heart, your soul, and all of your mind. Jesus paid the price for us with his love. Yes, he gave us a son. I don't think there's a bigger love than that to give your child. And I think that's one thing Abraham knew. He knew that there is no bigger love than to give your own child to the God of gods. Jesus had one responsibility. He had to die on the cross for our sins. And we only have actually one responsibility. There's only one price that me and you have to pay. Only one. You can listen to all the teachers. You can read all the books. You can do all the things you want. I promise you will not be successful. Because we've got one price to pay. And that is to search God day and night. That's it. Sounds difficult, but it's not. You see, I think everything started, even this book, The World We Live In, everything started because of love. God's love for us. He paid the price sending his son because I think in God's heart, he really, I don't know what the English word now is. I try to remember here. He had an overwhelming, what's behoefte? He had an overwhelming desire to meet with us. And from the beginning, I mean, Genesis, where God walked in the garden. He had the desire to meet with Adam and Eve. And God had the desire to meet with us. So everything he has done because of his desire to talk to our hearts. And we need to search God so that there can be a connection between me and God. It's difficult to explain. I think the love of God, I don't even understand this because we try to think the love of God is the same feeling as for a person. And then I think there's a much bigger, overwhelming place to search God and to find Him and to really experience His love. And I just think we haven't even touched it as a congregation, as a people. It's something about Abraham that he found in God that sometimes I think I haven't found yet. And that is the overwhelming love of God for him. John 14, 21 to 24 says, "Whoever has my commands and obey them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." This is important. If you love him, if you search for him, he will show himself to us. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Not even Jesus said this. He said, I'm not saying this. The Father, this is the Father's word. That we will come and make a place and dwell in the temple. Who's the temples? We are the temples. We need to stay in God's love. Because then even the Ten Commandments won't even be difficult. Because we try to do it by ourselves. John 15:9-10. I'm going to land with this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So these, all of this is commands and love. Commands and love. But you can't do commands if you don't love. That's very important. Because then it just becomes another ritual or what's nog 'n geloof? Religion. It becomes another religion because you follow it by yourself. And our God is not dead. He is alive. We need to search for Jesus. We need to pull into our quiet time and find that place where Jesus starts speaking to us, reveal himself, gives himself, shows himself to us. And even Amy, in the difficult times, this is where we need to be. Not in the times when we are alone, I'm going to do this and I'm going to put this in place. And I'm, like Charles said, it's not the things you put in place. It's searching for Jesus day and night. So I'm just going to pray for us. Thank you, Lord.